Thank you so much for listening or watching to the Salesforce Posse podcast, where I talk to Salesforce ecosystem gurus so we can learn how to go from being a Salesforce admin or developer to an architect. And in today's show, I'm diving deep into the world of Salesforce B2B commerce with none other than Shane Smith, who is CTO of Saltbox Management. Not only has Shane been implementing B2B commerce for a very long time, he has an amazing YouTube channel where he shares all his B2B expertise. In this podcast, he's going to be sharing his journey into the ecosystem back when ExactTarget was the new kid on the block. Then we dive into B2B commerce and everything you need to know and learn about it. So if you want to understand the fascinating history and evolution of B2B commerce, the key differences of the different commerce clouds, practical tips and essential best practices for building a successful storefront, and also dancing that intricate dance of integrating various platforms and mastering product pricing, as well as the potential impact that Financial Force will have across the platform and so much more, then I think you're going to get a lot of value of what Shane has to say. So without further ado, let's go. So hi, Shane. Welcome to the Salesforce Posse podcast. Now, I came to learn about you from your YouTube channel all around B2B commerce as when I first initially started kind of learning all about B2B. And I just thought you would be brilliant to come on the podcast and talk more about that. But before we get into B2B commerce, I'd love to know how you started getting into the Salesforce ecosystem. How did you kind of learn about it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And thank you for having me here. I'm excited to be here on the podcast. So how I started in the Salesforce ecosystem was very similar to a lot of the other people in the ecosystem. It was an accident, was not intentional. So it seems to be a trend in the ecosystem. But, I was in the technology space for a really long time, in high school, in college, got a job in the IT space out of college. And one of the companies that I knew through some family connections was a consultancy. And so got an internship with this consultancy, knew a lot about what I thought a lot about technology at the time, but not anything about Salesforce. And this consultancy happened to be a Salesforce consultancy. So jumped in, did the internship, loved it. I actually started in the marketing cloud space back then. Back actually when it was ExactTarget. So Salesforce had just acquired them, and I got thrown into the deep end of figure out this application called ExactTarget and let's do this giant project and implement it. So that started my self journey of learning how to figure out things on the fly, which is part of my character
the
right
consulting
now.
Way, right?
That's right.
Especially, I think it's like it's almost worse in the Salesforce world or SaaS technology because it's constantly evolving, right? So you're constantly either questioning yourself and what you used to do and don't know if it still does the same way, or the new stuff that's come in that actually is a more efficient way of doing it. So yeah, it's always learning. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been in the space for 10 years now, or over 10 years, and I'm still learning everything every day, brand new. So
yeah,
it's great.
Exactly, yeah. And this is why I always think, there's never really an expert in Salesforce, right? Because it's just impossible. You are now, everybody's now niching down and getting good at their certain areas of Salesforce. But it's always good. But you kind of live and breathe B2B commerce. Well, it looks like that anyway to me. But for those who don't know what Salesforce B2B commerce is, could you kind of give a bit of an explain and also the difference between B2B and B2C?
Yeah, I definitely can. So Salesforce B2B commerce, which they've done, as Salesforce loves to do, a lot of naming changing over the years of Commerce Cloud. So I'm going to give a little history lesson first, then I'm going to try to explain that. So, many years ago, Salesforce acquired a company called CloudCraze. And CloudCraze was the first Visualforce-based version of B2B commerce. It was a very successful company. They acquired it, and then they turned it into what they called Salesforce B2B Lightning. So that was the first iteration of B2B commerce within Salesforce, targeted after kind of that type of audience, right? They're selling business to business, focused on kind of that digital transformation with companies and, large orders, smaller scale, right? Because you're purchasing large amounts. And so that's kind of how they started. And since then, they've now been referring to it more often as Commerce on Core, because this platform that they've been building has, the B2B core capabilities we're going to be talking about here. But it also has D2C as well. So direct to consumer. So focused after kind of the guest buyer, the guest shopper, logged in shopper, that kind of experience as well. So that's kind of the one side of the house is Commerce on Core with a little bit different capabilities across those two templates. And then we have B2C Commerce. And B2C Commerce was a company they acquired, many years ago called Demandware. And Demandware was then turned into what we now know as B2C Commerce. That is high scale, fashion, retail space, smaller orders, but large amount of orders. Think of like Nike, think of Adidas, that kind of scale of brand, but off the platform, right? Off the core platform. You're not dealing with sales or service kind of core structure there. You're dealing with Demandware infrastructure and different languages.
Yeah. But there are common links, right? So with order management connectors and things like that.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Their order management is on the platform, quote unquote, right? But that connects B2C into Salesforce for sure. And there's other connectors that allow you to sync products and other pieces of information between the two platforms.
Yeah. So with the kind of B2B and B2C, obviously we've also got this kind of notion of the B2B2C and also the D2C that you were mentioning, but you've got B2C. So why would you use the kind of D2C in the core platform versus B2C? It's always a bit confusing, right? And also then you've got the B2B2C as well, which is in the core platform.
Yeah. So which one to use and why, right?
Exactly. The question. It's like, yeah. It's like, yeah.
I'll give you my opinion. I'll give you my opinion because I think everyone's going to have a little bit different take on this, and it's going to come down to a little bit of the situation. But I think, like I was kind of mentioning, the decision really comes down to what you're trying to do. Are you trying to, maybe let's do a hypothetical. Let's say you've got a company and you're using B2B commerce already, and you want to branch out and do, a small direct to consumer shop or market. You're trying to extend your business in certain areas. Super good fit for D2C, right? You're already on the core platform. You can extend your products right out into that storefront very easily with, very little effort there. And really everything's already in that infrastructure. Perfect fit. Or maybe you've got a smaller, mid-sized company, even like small enterprise, and you want to go and, bring your, let's say you're migrating from another e-commerce platform, you want to bring that into core because you're already using Sales and Service Cloud. Cases are in there, opportunity management's in there. Bringing that on to the D2C platform, perfect play as well. Where the decision I think really comes down to is what you're trying to accomplish and how and at what scale. So if you're trying to do, a fully composable storefront with, a custom, setup between multiple different vendors, and you're trying to do high scale retailer or, a fraction of a second page load times and, all of those things, you're going to probably be looking at B2C for that currently.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to the situation, what you're trying to accomplish, but D2C is getting better and better and faster as time progresses. And so it's starting to compete with a lot of those, the Shopify's and the other platforms out in the world. They're competing with, really high end sites right now, but it really comes down to, I think, scale and use cases.
Yeah. And I think also you've got if you are definitely in that B2B commerce world and you've got custom pricing for these, business or these companies that are buying from you, but you want to kind of maybe dip your toe into the consumer world a little bit,
yeah.
Then you have that option, right, of just extending it out from B2B to C, or even going the D2C model, right? Which I think, yeah, also has kind of value for customers as well, where, you know, they can play without, you know, being having too much effort if it already exists, right?
Right. Yep, that's definitely a reason to use D2C as you know, as an option there if you already have everything on the platform.
Cool. So, what are the kind of like, if I was kind of starting out in my B2B journey, what are the kind of the key things that I need to think about when building a store?
Yeah, that's a loaded question right there.
I know it's a loaded question, but yeah, even if it's just architecturally, you know, building it out, what do you need to think about? Are there different things that we need to think about than building an app, say, within the core platform itself?
Yeah, I'll start with maybe some of the commonalities. So data, you know, just like any other app you build or component or application, you're going to need data. And with commerce and with orders, you need to be thinking about, how am I going to be getting products into, you know, my storefront? Are they already there? Are they housed in a different location? What's the integration strategy to get that into the platform? I need to be thinking about pricing. Where is pricing set up and how do I get it into the platform? You need to be thinking about orders. When an order is placed, how do I get it fulfilled? You know, if it's physical, you know, where does that information need to go in order for the warehouse to be able to ship that out, right? Or whatever the setup may be. And then, you know, you need to also be thinking about checkout, because that's arguably maybe the most complicated part of any storefront, is how does the order get processed? What is your tax vendor? You know, how do you ensure pricing? How do you ensure inventory? How do you place an order? Is there a credit card processor? Purchase order, right, as an option, or maybe more, right? So there's a lot of different things you need to think about. But then, you know, putting all that aside for a second, you're dealing with end consumers here. You're not dealing with internal, you know, admins or sales users or service users. You know, if you do an app like that, of course you want it to look good, right? But it can be a little more utilitarian if necessary. But when you're building a storefront, especially, you know, D2C and even B2B nowadays, the buyers are expecting it to meet their needs, of course, but also look good, match the brand, give them a good experience. That's what's going to bring them back. That's what is going to drive up your customer loyalty. Mm-hmm. So you've got that UX layer that is even higher focus than it would, you know, potentially in an internal app.
Yeah, and even that kind of experience on the fulfillment of the order, you know, are you fulfilling it within Salesforce using the fulfillment management tools that, you know, part of B2B, or is it something external, but you still got to communicate to the customer when it's being shipped potentially, or when the due date, or delayed shipping, or whatever it may be. So I think, absolutely, yeah, that there's a lot of things to kind of think about of how everything kind of fits together, right? Across that, the platform and any other integrations you have, which kind of brings, really, actually talking about integration, which brings, and products, kind of brings to me, like, the Salesforce core platform, there's multiple kind of places where product and pricing and discounts and can kind of occur, right? You've got, you know, CPQ, you've got B2B commerce, you've got potentially opportunity pricing and changes on there happening. What things do you need to think about when it comes to, like, mastering that? Or even if you've got a PIM with product and pricing information externally and glue it all together?
Yeah, this is maybe a trickier question than the audience might realize as you're listening to this. So I'm gonna timestamp this. We're talking June 25th, 2024, or 2024. Yeah. As of right now, there's a lot of different places to do things. So if you're dealing with CPQ, you've got your CPQ pricing. If you're dealing with commerce, you've got your commerce pricing. There's a little bit of a way to sync those back and forth with some, you know, Salesforce Lab packages and connectors. And then you've got opportunity, you know, pricing, like you mentioned. You can pretty much do whatever you want over there with Pricebooks. The thing I'll say is that today, Salesforce pricing is natively built off of Salesforce price book entries. So opportunities and, you know, orders in the storefront natively work pretty similar. And of course, there's tons of ways to override that on either side. So it will depend quite vastly. The thing I will say is that there is a new capability that's coming out or has come out and will continue to progress called Salesforce Revenue Lifecycle Management, or RLM. And the idea behind that is, one, it's going to likely replace a lot of the functionality that's in the managed package of CPQ. But I think the idea behind it, or at least what I've heard from the product teams, is that it's going to start to become the master of pricing when it comes to all the Salesforce interactions, you know, whether that's B2B commerce, whether that's D2C commerce, whether that's order management, or, you know, the future of quoting and pricing and opportunities. So a year from now, my answer might be different. Right now, it's you could do a little bit of everything everywhere, but hopefully that starts to change in the positive.
Isn't a year from now, you just ask AI and it will tell you?
ChatGPT, right? Or Einstein AI, whatever it is.
So do you find that when you're working on these B2B commerce projects that integrations are the most challenging thing, or products and pricing is the most challenging thing?
Yeah, I'd say one and two, you know, maybe just a little bit difference between the two of them is probably integrations as the number one. Getting the data in the right spot and getting, you know, responses from the right spot. Like you mentioned the fulfillment use case there. Like, there's a lot of different integrations. I mean, it could be dozen or more depending on what we're trying to do. So that's definitely one contender. And then checkout, I think, is the second contender. If you're going down the path of, I want a custom checkout because my B2B commerce, you know, use case is special and I want to have six different payment methods and I want to allow them to search, you know, from 1,000 shipping addresses we have in that customer's Rolodex, right? And, you know, all the different situations, like those two probably are the most complicated by themselves.
Yeah. And I think and also I think some people miss the concept of they're actually taking a payment like on the cart, right? And actually, usually when you're doing an opportunity, you're going to fire it over to finance as an invoice. Well, hey, we forget about everything else. But actually, you've taken the payment. So if they want to return those items, if it's broken and they just want it taken back, you've got to manage the credit of that back to them. And then how do you manage that in your finance system? So yeah, you don't underestimate, even if you're just doing it manually, right? Exporting the data, importing it somewhere else, you've still got to manage it all, right? Which could mean additional, you know, integrations that you weren't necessarily thinking of when you embarked on the journey.
We find a lot of customers when they do B2B or D2C commerce, you know, they're likely doing a credit card processor in a lot of cases. Sometimes, you know, people will start to use Salesforce payments and that, you know, becomes a little bit more bundled together in the platform, but a lot of people use, you know, CyberSource and Stripe and PayPal and other applications. So we find a lot of our customers will end up using order management as well, because that gives you finer control over what happens. So I'd say, you know, someone's gone to the storefront, they've purchased something, we've authorized that purchase through the credit card processor, but the capture actually doesn't happen until the order is fulfilled typically. So there might be, you know, a day, it might be a week window between when you've authorized and when you've actually placed. And that's the same thing that happens on, you know, Amazon, right? You authorize your card and you see the charge actually hit when the shipment has been sent. So that finer control in order management gives you the ability to do that, but then also gives you the ability to process refunds. Like you said, you know, what happens if they cancel it, right? And, you know, being able to refund that back to the processor, is an important piece of the life cycle. And, you know, that's one of the things that you've got to really think about as you go into a commerce or order management project, is really mapping out what's the full life cycle of that order and how do I interact with it and what are all the touch points? Because that's going to positively or negatively impact the outcome of your commerce, since it's depending on how much focus you put on that life cycle.
Yeah. And the timings of things, of, hey, somebody wants to, you know, they're going to return the item, but you're only going to refund them when you receive it. Or is it when you receive it and you've checked it's not damaged, or, you know, whatever exactly the process is, right? So, yeah, there's a lot of nuance to it.
A lot of nuance.
This is, you know, if you could put your... Okay, this is where we kind of caveat and kind of go, okay, there's no people from Salesforce listening to this. What would you say was your bugbear of B2B commerce? If there was one thing you could change in it to make things easier, what would it be?
One thing I could change to make it easier. I feel like that answer changes every release, to be honest. all right, I'll pick my biggest one, and I've told this to Salesforce before, so they sound like this is new. But one of the most difficult things about commerce right now is deployments, and that's kind of, you know, true for maybe most applications in the Salesforce ecosystem, but it's like doubly true with commerce. Like deploying from a lower instance into QA, into UAT, into production takes time. It takes effort, getting the data in the right format, exporting, importing, migrating orders, migrating users, migrating carts, you know, getting images set up properly and linked to the right product. Like it takes time. So I think that would be my biggest thing. If I could wave a wand and say tomorrow, what's going to be like automatic or easier, it'd probably be deployments.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like a common thread, I think, because a lot of it's more kind of involved features or functionality within Salesforce, where you've got this combination of record-based config, metadata config, and everything around it, right? Even like you said, with product images, you know, do you master those images in there in the platform, mm-hmm. or just put a link to it and externally source it? You know, there's a lot of things you can, you know, and approaches to it. But yeah, okay, yeah, I think, yeah. We always have fun in the DevOps world, don't we?
Absolutely.
But we just do it all in production, right? Just solves the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. That's best practice for sure.
So if I was a company that... So with my architect hat on, right, I want to show the value of B2B commerce and the implementation of it. What typical reports and dashboards or KPIs do you like to kind of demonstrate off the data on what's working or what isn't working within your being B2B commerce implementation?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying there are some standard dashboards and reports that actually come with commerce that you can... There's actually they don't come with it, but you can install it through the UI of Commerce Cloud. So that helps, and that gives you metrics like orders and number of orders and breakdown of orders and you know, amounts per account and conversion and some of the other like revenue based metrics. What we find is that companies typically want a little bit more information. They want to know about, you know, the percentage of abandonment of carts, for instance. They want to know, you know, what pages are people going to, what products are driving the most search, where, you know, what are the actual sources of traffic? Is it, you know, organic? Is it referred from specific sources? And right now, the best way to do that is by plugging in something like, you know, GA360 or another analytic tool onto the platform. So there's actually, in my mind, there's like two metrics. There's what is the impressions and interaction people are having, and you typically would look to an analytic platform like Google Analytics to do that and tell you what's working, what's not working. And then there's downstream, once I've ordered, what's the breakdown of the order? How frequently is that happening? Is my order uptick increasing per account? Or staying flat, and that information can then be used to drive decisions like, do I, you know, promote a specific category? Do I promote specific coupons to these accounts? And how do I continue to, you know, increase kind of the order volume and frequency?
Which is quite interesting, actually, because I just started twigging, because I had a chat with Ian Gotts, who's kind of implementing Data Cloud and AI, And actually, it's kind of just got me thinking around, well, actually, you could feed that information into that to start getting kind of more interact or more information about, well, actually, we've got these certain abandoned carts multiple times from the same mm-hmm. customer, then therefore triggering action off the back of that, which is, yeah, quite interesting.
Yeah, actually, as of last release, there's now a native connector between Commerce Cloud and Data Cloud to start driving some of those insights. So a lot of it is, quote unquote, out of the box once you have all those platforms stood up.
But it's bringing those data models into Data Cloud and then, being able to harness that data for whatever you want, right?
Exactly.
But interesting. Okay, so what do you see is the kind of the future trends in what's happening in B2B commerce? Do you see, we kind of talked a bit about the kind of the D2C or direct-to-consumer or the B2B2C consumer plus B2C. B2C commerce cloud. Do you see that they're going to still be kind of kept as kind of separate platforms because you do get the ability to do a lot more volume on commerce cloud, B2C commerce cloud, or do you see kind of a convergence happening? Where do you see, and does that, the future of B2B really and commerce in general?
So I'll ask maybe answer the first one. Or try to first, as far as like the convergences or not, Salesforce's stance right now is that neither platform is going away. That's what they've said. And I think there is still, and there is probably likely going to be a high need for the high scale retail platform, really flexible platforms, for as long as I can see. So I think that platform probably is going to be there. I think D2C will continue to improve to be able to handle some of the other, non-high scale use cases better and better. Mm-hmm. Like the native functionality will continue to increase. And we've seen that release over release. They've been putting a lot of focus on the components that are available on the D2C storefront, making them, better looking, making them more flexible, allowing, us to compete better with other platforms. So I think that is definitely a key thing that I believe Salesforce will continue doing, and they said they would. As far as like the general and where is the ecosystem going, I think when it comes to B2B, the need for faster and better and more D2C-esque experiences is higher than it ever has been before. It's one of the reasons why our company got started around kind of the COVID timeframe because of that initial surge to get into a digital ordering process. And in my opinion, nothing really has changed over the last couple of years besides the demand has continued to increase. It might not be quite as urgent as it was during kind of the COVID era, but it's brought a light to the fact that like we can't just be a call this person and try to get a sale type of model anymore for most companies. Like they need a digital presence. They need to drive brand awareness and loyalty. So I think where the platform is going and where the ecosystem is going is allowing businesses to purchase faster, easier, and the companies to know them better and continue to drive up that awareness. So just a couple thoughts there.
I think, definitely. It's quite fascinating. I think also just the underlying architecture of Salesforce, because they've now moved to Hyperforce. They're now on AWS. Now, obviously, I don't know quite what's happening under the hood, right? But they're kind of moving into this world where they can scale a lot more easily than they ever could before. So it's quite, when they first announced Hyperforce, I was quite excited that actually they can actually really now start converting the platform all over to either a commodity-based licensing or usage-based licensing over the kind of standard user license. So it's accessible to everybody and you can scale. And I think actually B2B commerce essentially is charged in that way, like the number of orders you make and stuff, isn't it?
But number of orders or amount of orders.
And so I think I'm quite looking forward to the fact that if does Data Cloud become the Salesforce database slowly over time, right? And we've got this hyperscale data sitting under the hood, and maybe some of these core objects kind of migrate over and we don't really know the difference, but it means we can access them, you know, much greater volumes of data and do more with them, and which kind of helps the speed of the platform and the number of orders we can kind of take over time and blah 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 blah. So I think the future
it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Yeah, I agree.
And see how it go. Yeah, Data Cloud takes over the world or not, I don't know. Although somebody was telling me
it's got to be a little bit cheaper first, I think.
Yeah, they need to sort out the pricing, the credits a little bit, you know. I'm just waiting for the AWS cost calculators and the Azure cost calculators and that kind of thing. I'm just waiting for Salesforce to bring their version out so you can actually cost everything up.
You can figure it out.
So if I wanted to get into B2B commerce for the first thing, it sounds interesting because for me, in my opinion, you know, the Salesforce ecosystem has kind of changed. You know, it's less now about you knowing this kind of broad knowledge of the whole platform and being good at everything and getting the jobs. It's more about now you kind of need to be starting niching down and being really great at a certain area, and everybody knows you for that, and everybody starts coming to you, you know, to do those types of implementations. So if I was in a specific industry and I wanted to learn more about B2B commerce because that kind of interests me, where's the first place or the best place to start looking to learn more about B2B commerce?
Yeah, good questions. Well, the good news is that we're in a much better spot now than we were a year ago. A year ago, it would have been a little bit harder to get started, but let's say that you want to get into figuring out how to implement B2B commerce, not necessarily, you know, learn about it, because I think there's a fair amount of, you know, high level trailheads out there and articles that Salesforce has posted and videos that will kind of teach you like, what is this thing actually going to do? And you'll be able to figure that out pretty quickly because it's, you know, it's just a commerce site, right? You're natively, you're naturally familiar with, you know, how commerce works, but getting under the hood is another thing. So today, I think the best place to start probably is general familiarity with the tool and the model of how it operates. And there's actually one or two really good trailheads out there that talk about the different aspects of it. You know, what's the concept of entitlement? What's the concept of buyer group and pricing? And how does that fit inside of the Commerce Zone core structure? So if I were advising someone, and this is actually, you know, what we do when we train people in and on the platform too, is you start there. This is the foundation. And then from there, you've got a couple different paths. My encouragement, my way of learning as well is hands-on. So I'd go get a, you know, trailhead or go get a free dev org. And in those orgs, you can turn on B2B commerce, no charge. It's, you know, just a click of a button to get it turned on. And then you can go and configure to your heart's content. And then once you have the org to work on, then there's, you know, a couple different options. There's definitely my YouTube channel, which kind of takes you through a step.
Highly recommend.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. I enjoy creating those. So
they're for my videos. Actually, you do have a really great trail video playlist. Yeah, on kind of introduction to B2B commerce, which is really good. Recommend it.
Awesome. Appreciate
I interrupted you.
No, it's all good. No, I appreciate that. I'd start there with that video actually you're suggesting, because it gives you kind of that overarching, here's what it is, and then let's dive in and actually set up a store from the ground up. And you know, I'm a very visual learner, which is why I you know, love the YouTube platform, and I want to be able to see the thing as I'm doing it and kind of give me those steps as I walk through it. So that would be a good place to start. It has, you know, it has kind of the surface level of everything, and then it's got a couple of rabbit holes that you can go down. You can get really deep into promotions and figure out, you know, exactly all the nuances of advanced promotions, or you can go down the rabbit hole of, you know, how you do, you know, alternative payment methods inside of a custom checkout process in B2B commerce. So lot of little rabbit holes you can go spend your time on, but I'd go there and spend some time there. Free resources are always the best. And then there's, you know, if you're a partner, you've got access to the Partner Learning Camp material out there, and that gives you some good resources. And then there's also some community involvement through, you know, Slack channels and Salesforce community groups that will give you a possibility to ask some questions to people, which I think is really valuable because every use case is just a little bit different.
Yeah, and every region you're in is a little bit different, like, you know, different legal requirements. Like, I'm in Europe, we've got, well, not anymore, but don't get me started. But, you know, in the UK, you know, we've got different legal requirements than maybe in the US, and how does that change the way you do your store and things like this? So, yeah, definitely. This is why I love kind of local community groups, because you can kind of pick their brains. Like, oh, don't forget to do this and this as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's good resource.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So something we didn't actually touch on is you do have the kind of commerce, well, you've basically got these digital experiences which you're exposing out to the world, right? But what are the kind of the security controls and things you need to think about to make sure that you're building a secure environment, especially if it's like a guest or anonymous kind of checkout type thing that you're kind of exposing? It's not authenticated login. Are there any kind of security, additional security things we need to think about when building B2B commerce solutions?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the advantages of the Commerce Uncore product is it's, you know, it's all based off of the security model we've got available. So unpacking that a little bit, you've got standard objects inside of the commerce platform and, you know, the core platform, I should say. And when it comes to what you're showing to the user, you're showing them essentially an Experience Cloud site. So if you're familiar with Experience Cloud or Community Cloud from the past, it's the same exact structure and data model. So you have the ability to expose certain objects or hide it based on profile. You've got permission sets, you've got sharing sets and all the standard capability you have. And then you just need to figure out, you know, what is the right level of access to give an authenticated user versus, you know, potentially a shopper guest profile user, which might have a little bit more limited set of information until they log in, for example. So yeah, it really comes down to what you're trying to accomplish. But the benefit we have is we have all the standard sharing models and capabilities that Salesforce is, you know, been working on and has had for many, many, many years.
Yeah, which I think which makes it quite cool, because it is just an extension of the core platform. So if you don't know B2B commerce, it is all the same stuff. You just got to learn all the extra bits that B2B commerce introduce it, but it's still within the same core platform. Whereas B2C, completely different.
Completely different. Yes, very much so. Yeah, if you know the sales or service core, you've had experience in Experience Builder, like, you've got a really solid foundation to jump into B2B commerce.
Brilliant. So before I ask my final question, unless you have, do you have anything else you wanted to tell the audience to help them on their B2B journey?
Yeah, maybe just a plug that if you are interested in finding a niche in the Salesforce ecosystem, Commerce Uncore is a really good place to go. I mean, I can't tell you how challenging it is to find experienced people that know B2B commerce, because the group of people is relatively small right now, right? When it comes to Salesforce, B2B commerce is a relatively new kid on the street, right? Sales and service has been around for a long time. So I guess I'll make a plug for, if you're interested in making really good experiences for customers and something that's people are going to see around the world, not just, you know, internal apps, Commerce Cloud is a really good way of doing that, of, you know, having a lot of complexity and need for customization, but also the ability to show something really, you know, design friendly and user experience focused to end customers. So that's my plug, is give it a try. It's a good opportunity.
Yeah, especially like if you combine that with an industry you work in and you've got that industry knowledge plus the B2B commerce knowledge, you kind of sorted. Yeah, it's always,
yeah, so superpower right there. Skill.
Yeah, yeah, superpower. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like the other superpower is a data cloud and an industry as well, right? That's the other superpower right now.
Yep, but that's right.
Okay, so you're ready for the final question?
Try my best.
Okay, so I do ask this question to most people, I'd say. So if you could wind the clock back to a certain time in your past, what advice would you give yourself, and at what point in time would it have been?
Yeah, I mean, that is a...
it doesn't have to be Salesforce related, if you know.
Yeah, I'll stick with Salesforce since we're on the topic. That's what's top of mind. So I mentioned this at the beginning. I spent the first part of my career in Marketing Cloud, which I have no regrets on. I enjoyed working in there quite a bit. I think if I could go back, I would go back to the first couple of years of my career and probably prod myself to get into the core ecosystem a little bit faster. Like it took me a handful of years actually to get into. I was purely Marketing Cloud focused, and there's so much to dig into that I like literally didn't have the appetite or the mind or the will to go in and dig into the core. But I, if I could go back, I would give myself a couple of extra years of experience, kind of, you know, digging into all of that. So that's what I'm gonna go with.
To be honest, that's kind of similar to mine, actually, although a bit different. It was more that I was a developer before I kind of came into the Salesforce world. And when I came into the Salesforce world, I kind of came in as a consultant and was just kind of did more of the declarative side and never really got into the code side of the platform. Although it was pretty, you know, apex and you know, it was pretty crazy at the time. That's probably my regret as well, is like I should have got more into the code earlier on and learnt it more, you know, rather than kind of being a little bit arm's length away and didn't really tell anybody that I was a coder. So
you let that cat in the bag and it's not going back in.
I know, exactly, yeah. But yeah, I think I probably would have jumped more into the core, and then I would have understood it a lot more, I think, with the code context as well. But thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely, I've enjoyed it.
Wealth of knowledge. Do check out his YouTube channel, Exchange with Drew Chotana. It is awesome. I've watched a lot of the videos now, along with all the trailers and everything else. It's been super useful. Thanks a lot, and thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks for watching or listening to the Salesforce Posse podcast. Now, please, 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 if you like or what you see or hear, then please rate this podcast in your podcast player, as it tells me that there are people out there that actually are listening to this and that it's useful to them. Also, it helps the podcast algorithms to kind of elevate the podcast in the different podcast directories, which will be really helpful for me as well. And finally, if you do have a question that you want to ask on the podcast, then head to salesforceposse.com/message and maybe you'll appear in the next podcast. But apart from that, thanks for listening, and until next time, ta-ta!